This is HPR episode 2703 entitled, Fog of War in Yesod-based Game. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto, and is about 25 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, how to implement Fog of War system in turn-based web game.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, my name is Tuukka and you are listening to Hacker Public Radio. Today I'm going to look how to make a one way. Today I'm going to look into a one way of making a fog of war in a Yesod-based web game. So premise is that I'm working on a simple web-based space exploration game, and big part of the space exploration game is, of course, exploration. So you need to have something to explore. It's not fun if you immediately in the beginning of the game have a complete view of everything that is in the game. So there's a sort of a dual of the universe, two sides of the universe. That there's this part that really is. And there's this part that the players see, and even more, every player have a slightly different view of what there is, because they start from the different planets and explore the different directions and do the different kind of things. So the first part, what really is used for the running that reasonable simulation, and the second part is what gives the players chance to explore. So the solution I came up for this is relatively simple. I like simple solutions. So the real situation is stored in the database. For example, there's a one table for the star systems, one table for the stars that are located in the star systems, another table for the planets, yet another table that stores the population of the planets, and one table that stores the buildings that are located on the planets. So basically one table per type of entity. And then there's a separate tables that map almost one-to-one with these ones that are used to store reports or observations. So if there's a star table, then there's a star report table, and planet report, and population report, and building report, and so on. And all of these report tables are connected to a faction. If you remember, every player is a part of a faction. That is essentially just a group of players that work together, and it's the faction who owns the planet and has the ships and so on. But every report table is connected to a faction. Basically, there's just a foreign key to the faction table. And this causes this is because then it's the faction that has the view of the universe. If there's a two players that form a faction and one start explores to one direction and another to another direction, they automatically share all the things they find. They let one, basically all the players in the faction have the same view of the universe. Okay, and these reports, they are also tied in time. There's another column there that tells when this observation or report was done. And reports are almost always impartial, and they may even be incorrect. So when, for example, when a ship arrives to a new star system, they might initially spot very crude details, like they spot, okay, here's a star, and then there's some amount of planets. And if they start doing scientific observations in the system, they slowly start accumulating more information. For example, they get the luminosity of the star or stellar class, or they measure the gravity of the planet, they measure what kind of atmosphere it has. All that information slowly starts accumulating. Sometimes they might make mistakes, and then a bit later they might correct those mistakes, like, okay, I thought that this planet is gravity is 1g, but it's actually later on realized that it's 0.98 g's. And at this point it might be a good idea to have a look at the show notes. I have shown how the I'm going to use a planet as an example, and I have copied their definition of the planet and planet report tables. So basically the planet has a name position in the system, like from 1 to n, linked to the star system where it is. It might have an owner, that is a faction who currently has the ownership of the planet, or it might not have if it's a completely unsettled planet, and a gravity. And the report has the same similar information. It has the, but it has a link to the planet that is that the report is about. It has the owner, that is the faction. It has the link to the star system where the planet is located, and it has name, position, gravity, and the information when the observation was made. But if you look, you notice that these informations are, for example, gravity is double maybe, and position is int maybe, meaning that the information might or might not be present there. In the code, wherever there's a gravity regarding to the planet, it's always double. But in the planet, in the code, the planet report is maybe double. It may be nothing, meaning that the observation hasn't been done, or it may be just double, meaning that observation has been done and there's some number we are known of. So there's a lot of maybe fields in the reports. Okay, as I said, the reports are cumulative, so they are multiple observations are done about the same entities over the time, and when player is viewing the information, all this information is aggregated compared to the one single report that is shown to the player, that this is the current information you know about. So the basically there's entities, these are the planet, then there's the report, planet report, and then there's the these are stored in the database, and then there's the final thing, collated report, that is what is shown to the players. So I'm going to have a closer look in the code next. There's this code uses some type classes. They are really common in Haskell. They are basically they define a set of operations that can be performed to instances of that type class. For example, num type class in Haskell defines that you can add and subtract and multiply instances, and then there's a defined that then the Haskell defines instances, int and float and such for that type class, meaning that you can multiply integers, you can multiply doubles. And I approached this by dividing the whole progress into whole process into several steps. So first we need to get that data from the database and transform it into the form that can be processed. And the getting the data from the database is easy because persistent library will handle that for me. But to transform that data into something that is more easily processable, I have a report transform type class that defines one operation from report. And this is usually mapped one to one between the report in the database and the collated report. But in some cases, it's possible to add some extra data. For example, for the population, the population table stores just a race ID. There can be different races like Terrans and such in the game, but the population table stores only a race ID, and the races are defined on a different table. And in this report transform phase, that ID is used to place the name of the race into the collated report. That way, when the player gets the report, they know that it's about the, they know the name of the race that is inhabiting a planet instead of just the ID. But in case of the planets and planet reports, it's just a one-to-one mapping, basically. Okay, now that we have a stack of reports about several planets, some of those reports might be about the same planet, and some reports might be a different planets. This situation could be that the ship has arrived into a star system and they have been observing the system a bit, and now the scientific officer has a huge stack of, or rather huge pile of reports on their table and needs to make some order on it. So I defined a class called, type class called grouped, that is used to indicate if two reports are about the same entity. So it again defines only one function, same group, that takes two collated reports. Actually, it takes two of anything that has been defined to have an instance of that group. But it takes two of those collated reports and tells if they are about the same entity. Usually it's just a simple comparison of the primary keys. And that's exactly what we are doing in the case of the planet reports, because these are just comparing the planet ID of those reports. If they are the same, then they are about the same planet. If they are not the same, then they are not about the same planet. Okay, and now that we have sorted those planets, those reports into neat stacks, we need to combine one stack into a single report. So all the information that has been collected, for example about Venus, will be squeezed and aggregated into one report. And that is, there's a pattern, there's an easy way to combine this stack, one stack called monoid. And these are, if you start programming in Haskell, monoids are, you're going to run into them all the time. They're really common. Then it's well, it is a simple abstraction, mathematical abstraction, and basically it defines that there's an object, in our case a planet report, sorry, collated planet report, and a associative binary operation that is used to combine these. And then there's a empty element, and then there's a couple rules how these should work. For example, in case of text, which is really a list of characters, if you have A, B, and C, and you combine them with this operation, you get a string A, B, C altogether. But if you add some parentheses, you have A plus B inside of parentheses plus C. That is equal to A plus B plus C inside parentheses. So order where the things are combined matters, but like you cannot just switch A and B around and get the same result. Of course, that's a different, but adding parentheses doesn't matter. And then there's the empty element, that A plus empty string is A, and empty string plus A is again A. So this is what forms a monoid, and also every monoid is also a semigroup, which is just this binary operation without the empty element. So how this mathematical notion relates to our collated planet reports is that if we have a stack of collated planet reports, we can just take two of those and make a third one where all the information of the old one is superimposed with the new one. So basically we are just collecting the newest information that is available. And then we need that empty report in case we don't have anything, or if we have, then we have just a collated planet report where all the fields are nothing, empty. And then I had to take I didn't really know what's the best way, so I ended up setting the foreign keys to zeros and the date to zero to indicate that this information isn't correct. This might not be the best way of doing that, but I couldn't figure out a way to around this. And if we define these type classes, or rather instances of these type classes to our entities, the actual processing is just a couple of lines. But I'll try to find a better explanation about the monoid and what it is about and link it into the show notes. So actual processing, now that we have defined all these auxiliary functions, is that the collate report function, that this is for the single entity. This takes a list of things, and these things must have report transform type class, and it produces a single thing that has to be a result of that report transform and also form a monoid instance. And the actual implementation is just mconcat map from report to report. Like four words. And this just, first it maps the reports from the database representation into that collated representation, and then it uses mconcat to squeeze all those collated reports into a single one. And mconcat is defined by the Haskell in the terms of that diamond operation, that single binary operation that we talked about a little bit later, that we defined when we were defining the monoid instance. And for the multiple reports, the situation is slightly more complex, because now we have a stack of these things, and we are producing stack of these things. So we have a stack of something that can be used in the report transformation, and we are producing a stack of things that are a result of that report transformation form a monoid. And also that first item has to be something that can be grouped, like we can tell that are they about the same entity. But that basically is just in that I define that in a two steps. Like the special case is when you have an empty list, then the result is an empty list. That's easy. But if you have something on your list, then you are first going to split them. The code collects that there's a of the it picks the first item, collects from the list all the items that belong to the same group, and then it collates them with the earlier function, and then it takes the next item that hasn't been processed and does the same thing. Okay, but all this happens on the server side, of course, and the data on the server isn't going to help the player much at all. They need to see that, so we need to send it to the client somehow. There's two ways: we can render it as a HTML page, or we can send it as a JSON. And in the example, I'm going through with the JSON. And first we need to define a way how to transform our report into the JSON, and template Haskell offers as a shortcut. We can just use the derived JSON with default options for our collated planet report data, and it will create us to from JSON and to JSON instances. Now we can with a single call transform JSON into a we can actually transform JSON message into collated planet report, and the vice versa collated planet report into JSON. And now the code to actually do all this is again pretty short. There's a handler that takes a key planet. This is the primary key of the planet we are interested, and returns a handler value. This is JSON in our case. First step is to check that the player is actually a member of a faction, and before that the code checks that they are actually logged in and authenticated. And if this step fails, they are going to get I don't remember what error code they are going to get. Maybe 500, maybe something else. But if this check passes, then we are loading we are using the persistent select list to load all the planet reports that are of this given planet and are made by the faction that the player is member of, and we are sorting them by the report date. And then we are just calling the collate report to take this loaded data and transform into a collated planet report. That map entity value is there because the loaded planet reports the client reports that are loaded from the database are tuples of two items. First element is the ID, and the second element is the actual report. So doing the map entity val gives us the actual reports. And then we are going to just turn that into the JSON with the toJSON call and return it. So I really like how simple it looks at this level. Like just authenticate, load the data, turn into report, return to the player, done. And the actual report thing is not that complex. There's just quite a bit of stuff to write there. And of course you have to write that for each and every entity type in your game. That's quite a bit of time. Okay, I'm going to call this off, and I would be interested to hear if you have written something similar or tackled a similar problem, and what do you think about the approach in general? Okay, until next time, this is Luca, signing off.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.